And joining me online now is Paul Chato. Now, fans of Canadian comedy history will probably know Paul as one of the core members of the Frantics. He's long been, though, a real high-tech guy. I think we connected, about 20 years ago, Paul?
Yeah, some kind of trade show, technical trade show, and we got along.
Yeah, we got along. Well, I don't know if you know, but I had a very short and unhappy career with Second City.
I didn't know that.
You didn't
and
know
why,
that?
And why was it unhappy?
Because I got fired would be the main reason. It was unhappy for me. Happy for them, I think. They were happy to hire me, and then they were happy to let me go. But yeah,
Do
I spent some time with Second City.
I was fired from it also.
Really?
Yeah. What was the guy's name? He was one of the founders of Second City Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I guess he was brilliant starting the Chicago group, but not mm-hmm. so brilliant actually teaching outside of it.
Ah.
And he was pretty much a raging alcoholic when he was teaching us at Second City in Toronto. What was his name? Anyway,
let's not mention it after that preamble.
Probably not. Yeah, exactly. And you know, he basically told me that I stunk and get off the stage and comedy will never be my career. And
never be your career.
I showed him.
Yes, you did indeed. And now we're tech guys. Nope.
That's right. Well, I'm both. You know what? I do what I enjoy. And to me, writing a good comedy bit is no different from programming to, I guess, managing a company now. So,
well, and you've always been a guy engaged in tech. And I know we've had lots of conversations in the past about comedy and lots of conversations about tech. And
I did a PageMaker demo on a previous show of yours.
Oh, that's right. Good heavens, I've forgotten about that. But now you are running a company called Your Web Department, which is, I think, a nice, unique take on hosted website development, content management. And first of all, tell me, why did you guys think that we needed another, basically, web management organization?
Well, this comes from an interesting perspective. I come from a design background. I designed the typefaces. I programmed directly in PostScript. So I probably more than a lot of people that I knew out there, I was able to have a foot in both camps, both the creative camp and the technical camp.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Steve, I hate to say this, but I heard programmers and some IT people just say the worst crap to non-technical individuals, more often their bosses. And I would just sit there biting my lip thinking, oh my God, these people who are relying on these technical priests to manage and understand what they're trying to do technically, we're telling them a lot of crap, a lot of BS. And it was just sad. And it was the wrong information. And it was from the wrong angle, the wrong direction that had nothing to do with the company needed to hear. But the poor person who was managing the company was not technical and had to accept whatever nonsense that they were being given. So we got so mad, I got so mad that we created Your Web Department.
Now, so this is really what we're talking about as far as these challenges go. This is web designers and people designing websites for companies. And then in a lot of cases, they would hold them hostage. They would say, you have to use this, you have to use this. They were the only people that understood the back end of that particular site. So people who had paid money to have a website developed, if they decided to move to another supplier or they just wanted access to their own content, quite often they didn't have access to that content. And it still is a real problem in industry.
I totally agree. And clients who are being held hostage because someone else knows the code, owns the code, knows how to update the code, and every time that the client has to make a phone call to make some changes, well,
you know, build, yeah.
Yeah, that's crap. I'm sorry.
And in a lot of cases, companies have even allowed that web developer to register the domain in their name and hold it for them and all those sorts of things. So really not good business on the business owner side, but because of ignorance, and I don't mean that in the negative term of ignorance, but because they don't understand the business, they're basically being held hostage in some cases.
Yes, and we won't get rid of the ignorance, the dictionary definition of ignorance, but at least clients who are using our system know that it's their system and they can do whatever they want with their websites. And it really makes me feel good knowing that we have their back.
So basically, your web department is a service which people sign up for, and they pay anywhere between about $20 and $100 a month for your basic services, and you end up hosting their entire website. You give them the tools they need or designers need in order to build and manage the website. Is that in a nutshell?
Yes, and because it's a horizontal environment, code base, and not a single instance website system, and I can define that later if you think that's an impenetrable concept. But we're able, every time we make an update to our system, all our clients get updated at the same time. So we're not having to go into a bunch of single instance websites and try to update the code. It's really quite an amazing community, and we update our system almost once a week, and it's fantastic.
So now what you're talking about as far as not a single instance code is that it's built as modules so that people can go in and they can manage the overall content of their site through a very user-friendly interface without actually diving into the actual programming, the code right into the website. But how is it different from sites like a Drupal or a WordPress site, which have become so popular as these open source sites for people creating content management systems?
Well, let's just take Drupal or Joomla. That's a good example of a vertical instance experience. So someone has, number one, a programmer for the most part has to build the site. Yes. These are not simple application. So already the client is held hostage. And as you know, every programmer hates the work of every other programmer. So, the idea that you could just hand over a Joomla site to someone else and they'll be fine with it, most likely the programmer is going to say, who did this? This is crap.
Yes, indeed.
So I mean, this transportability is also not, that's a bit of a sham. And so as soon as a single instance website is completed, let's say it was done 2 years ago, and at the moment it's done and running, it starts aging. And as the internet progresses, that site will not progress technologically. So that's the big difference. So if you wanted to add mobile, which is very huge right now, yes, you would actually have to go back to the original developer, if he hasn't moved out of his mother's basement and now has to attend cooking school to make a living, then you're going to be stuck with a charge to add that mobile capability, if you were lucky enough that your original website was structured in such a way that it was mobile friendly. So our system, we are adding tools and capabilities because it's a horizontal platform on an ongoing basis, and all our clients get it. So for instance, a year and a half ago, we added mobile. That means all our clients got free mobile. So that's really the difference, is that we are motivated by following the internet and keeping up with the internet so our clients don't have to. So when they turn to us and say they want this feature, well, more than likely we've already built it and it's there and it's available for them for free.
Now, I used a term earlier on. I used content management system, which is really, in my mind, a better term than website when we're talking about these sorts of sites, because the data that's in your site is what's important and valuable. And it's how we wrap that information, how we package that information, how we deliver that information to different internet platforms, be it a computer, be it a mobile device, be it a tablet. That's what's important. But the content is what's key. So do you guys focus, you let the client just focus on the content and then worry about all of the delivery tools after, but the content will migrate and will be able to be delivered to any platform that they choose.
That's correct. That's really what we're all about. And plus, we're a really good Web 2.0 connector. So we don't want to build everything for people. There's an awful lot of companies out there like MailChimp and Eventbrite who are spending millions of dollars on their cutting edge systems. And we have found ways to use their application programming interfaces to incorporate all that phenomenal experience into our system.
Now, you just threw two names there. MailChimp is an email management system where people can manage their newsletters or they can manage a subscription-based email. And what was the other one you mentioned?
Eventbrite.
Is that an event management system?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's one that I wasn't familiar with, but I'll have to take a look at. So what are you finding has been the result for your small business clients? What's the word that you're getting from them as far as the benefits of this sort of a system?
Well, for the most part, almost all our clients come to us because they've been hurt in the past by some other date or relationship. And at least 85% of our clients have had a bad previous experience, which I don't know what that says about our industry. I think that's a bad thing. I love their business, but I'd rather not hear that kind of statistic. And most of our clients, a good percentage of them, just want the website done for them. They don't want to build it themselves. Even though our system has all the tools to let them build it themselves, they don't want it. That's really what characterizes our clients, which is why they're willing to pay $50 a month. The people who want it for free, well, they can just go to WordPress. So that's, we have a professional client base. And again, you have to understand, approximately 30% of small businesses don't have websites still to this day.
And it's an interesting statistic. I mean, you threw out 85%. I realize that's iterative, but I probably believe that about 85% of people who have had the responsibility of building their small business's website who aren't web professionals have had a bad experience. I think that's the nature of the game.
Well, they don't know who to turn to. Yeah. I mean, do you turn to a marketing person? Do you turn to a designer? Do you turn to a programmer? Are you going to go do it cheaply? So you're going to turn to your cousin's niece because she just graduated from multimedia school.
Yeah.
You know what? People build websites for the wrong reason. They build it because their competition has one. Well, I mean, that's not really a go out there. I'm going to take on the world and wrestle it to the ground, and I'm going to make a great experience excuse for building a website. I'm doing it because my Bernie's got one. If Bernie's got one, then I got to have one. Yeah, so
now you folks are based in Toronto.
Is
your client base primarily in the Ontario area, or have you spread out?
We're all over the world. I mean, we have websites in Brazil, Argentina, Japan, but mostly in the GTA, but lots in the United States. We let designers use our system to build their own website business. Plus, we have a referral program for people who are want to use our system to refer it to other clients. So we want to do is support people in however they want to either build their own website or develop websites for other people. And it's a great system.
And you've got a basic package starting about $25 a month. Your full-on package is $99 a month. But as I'm looking at it, there's really, if you just start out at the basic, there's lots of places for people to grow. I see you have a catalog and e-commerce system built in, which is a huge issue for anybody. You might start a website, not think that you need it, but eventually you do need it. Adding it onto your website later often requires a complete rebuild or another website being designed. So those are nice features to add on as you move ahead.
I totally agree. Could not say it better, Steve.
And the only bone I have to pick with you is I see in your basic package you don't include the search engine optimization. And I think that that's something that, well, maybe not everybody. I guess if you're building a website that you don't care if people come to see, you don't have to pay attention to it. But who's really doing that and spending money on it?
I hate to tell you this, but there are an awful lot of people who just don't care. And so we created a package for people who don't care about SEO. I mean, all these other open source systems are really driven by programmers. It's what programmers want, all the geeky features, whereas we are 100% client driven. And that one of the things that came out was a whole group of people who don't care about SEO. So
wow.
We gave package.
Now, you and I have had some very compelling conversations in the past about things that people should pay attention to if they are developing a website or if they have a website that they're not happy with, the sort of things that they should boil back to really make good decisions as they move ahead. So what are if you had two or three top things for people to think about that their website should be doing for them for their small business, what are they?
Well, there's a couple of ways I approach this. Number one, think of your website as if it were an employee. Not something that you're going to spend a few dollars on and just leave alone. If you treated your website like an employee, well, let me reverse that. Would you let your employee sit around not doing anything day after day after day and not have any expectations from them? Well, no, but the vast majority of people have that exact same attitude towards their website. So we're trying to suggest that you should build the website so you have expectations and it has metrics and it has deliverables so you can actually get something from the web experience. And then the other thing I do to simplify how people should view their website is make a bold claim and then prove it. Those are the only two things your website should do. Number one, if you're not making a bold claim, why are you in business to begin with? Number two, prove it. Now, the prove it part of it is really the tough side of things. But then it's how well do you want to prove it? Initially, you might prove it by finding appropriate stock photography. But then later on, as you build your business, you'll replace that stock photography with really good original photography. So you're always proving to the outside audience why they should do business with you. And you should always try to improve on how you prove that bold statement.
Yourwebdepartment.com is the site. Paul Chato is my guest. Paul, thanks so much for coming on. You're going to have to do this again.
I would. Anytime, Steve. You're a brilliant raconteur.
Oh, I've got to look that up. Thank you.
Try Google.
I will. That's Paul Chato. The website is yourwebdepartment.com. I'm Steve Dotto, and you are tuned in to Dotto Tech.